and started to move day by day through the scriptures, receiving in the mail 6 to 10 verses a day. So we started in Galatians, and what a blessing that was, and then being able to go right from Galatians to Ephesians, then Philippians and Colossians. Then we went to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. We were able to go to Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 1st John, 3rd, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude, and we're in Revelation. Amen? And we've been traveling together. So we believe in the Word of God and giving out the Word of God. Now, for Revelation, we're going to, Revelation, remember, not with an S, it's just one, Revelation. We're just going to take it from now until November. That will give us about, and you've seen it today and yesterday, about 3 or 4 verses a day, slowing it down so we could really teach through it as well here. And then right before Thanksgiving or right after, we'll start in Matthew, and it's right around Christmas, and then move on that way. So as a fellowship, it won't be long, and we've been through the whole New Testament, literally, word by word, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and you're part of that. So we're in Revelation. Now, it's unfortunate because many people are afraid of the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. And it was given to us, obviously, by the Holy Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit of God used humans. So John the Apostle. Now, this is the same apostle that wrote the Gospel of John. The same apostle that wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. His contemporaries, the fellow disciples, they've been martyred, all of them. He has seen all of that taking place, being martyred. He's at the end of the first century. They say this book probably was written around 95 AD. And there is great persecution going on. As a matter of fact, history tells us, and that's church historians tell us, that regarding John, and the animosity towards John as towards the others, they tried to kill this apostle John. How? Church fathers say they put him in boiling oil, but he did not die. Can you imagine that? And the results of that was then to banish him to an island, and it's called the Island of Patmos. And you could actually see it on a map today. Now, it wasn't a friendly island by any means. It was not a vacation trip. It was really a place of seclusion in torment, but it was there that he received the revelation for us. Now, let's be upfront as we go through this. There's many different views that people have regarding Revelation. In other words, this book. And I'm going to tell you maybe two extremes and where we're at. So some believe that this book was actually finished before 70 AD or around 70 AD, and everything has already happened. And therefore, in a symbolic way, Christ is back in the kingdom here. So the things in Revelation that we talk about, they're not going to happen, or it's symbolic. We don't believe that. We really believe and we teach that this really is to come. So this is future. This is to come. And we believe that wholeheartedly. We really believe that Jesus Christ is literally coming back. Amen? I mean, the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, you know, as you go through that and you realize Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, some of you just looking at the revelation, maybe the first time you're through that, and you may feel a little intimidated, as any of us would be. But if you turn to Revelation chapter 1, and again, this morning, we're just giving a quick flyover. Wednesday night, we're going to be starting to move through it. But if you look in Revelation chapter 1, every pastor or Bible teacher loves to find the outline for the book. Like, for example, the Gospel of John, it's 21 chapters, but the first 12 chapters are his public ministry, and then from chapters 13 to the end are the private ministry of Jesus. In the Gospel of John that John wrote, he speaks about the signs, there's 7, and the I ams, there's 7, and it kind of fits together. And in the Gospel of John, he says, I've written this gospel that you may believe. So John was written, the gospel, so that you would believe. So that you would what? Believe. So 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he says, I've written this that you may know that you have eternal life. So you can be certain. So gospel, believe. The epistles, you can be certain of that relationship you have with Jesus. And then Revelation, so that you can be ready. Believe. be certain, be ready. So let's look at verse 19 of chapter 1. It's an outline. Some call it a divine outline. It says, write these things which you have what? Seen. And the things which are. And the things which will take place after this. So write the things that you've seen. Write the things that are. And write the things that will take place after this. So again, I stated up front our position. I believe that this book was written in the 90s, maybe 95 AD. So the collapse of Jerusalem in 70 AD, Jerusalem's been wiped out already. This is written after that. So what he says, right there, write the things which you've seen, and that's chapter one. And he's going to reveal to us, we'll get into it on Wednesday night, he's going to reveal to us Jesus. As a matter of fact, look at chapter 1. In chapter 1, it says in verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. And it says in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. And who's he speaking about? He's going to tell us what he's seen. So he saw Jesus. And there's a presentation. The second, in the verse 19, it says, the things which are, and that's chapters 2 and 3. So listen, it's a divine outline. Don't be confused. Chapter 1 is just what he saw. Chapters 2 and 3, the things that are. So there's literally seven churches. There's a region. It's called Asia Minor, but when we think of that, many times we think of Asia, we're thinking of China and other countries. What it is Turkey, and that's the area. And there's literally, in that region, there's literally seven churches. And John, as a sense of an apostle and pastor, he's overseeing these ministries. And God has a word, literally, for these seven churches. So this letter, literally, is going to go in a designated way to these seven churches. They're going to read this word, and when they read it, it's not just with the eyes, because many of them obviously wouldn't have what you have, but reading, it implies reading out loud. So back to Revelation chapter 1, again this morning, just an introduction, but look at verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 1 says, blessed is he who reads, and that means out loud, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. This, of the New Testament books, this is the only book in the New Testament that specifically says there is a blessing for anyone who reads, who hears, and obviously who keeps what is written, the commands of God. There's a blessing. So when you think about it, and I'm sad to say, very sad to say, how many within the church family of Jesus Christ, their pastor, their minister, their church leader, hasn't ever taken them through the book of Revelation because you're foregoing a blessing to your fellowship. Amen? There's a blessing from God. Now, obviously, all the word of God is a blessing. All the word of God is a blessing. But specifically, he's saying there's a blessing. There's an absolute blessing. Why? I mean, they're going through difficult times. They're going through severe persecution. But he's telling us that for us as well, and through church history, all of us need the hope of Jesus Christ and the understanding that Jesus Christ is coming. So the literal seven churches, they're talked about in chapters 2 and 3. Chapters 4 and 5, we actually get a glimpse of heaven. John is taken up into heaven, and he sees the things in heaven. We get to see what he saw. Remember Paul the Apostle? Paul the Apostle also was taken to heaven, and he saw things in heaven that he could not put any words to. He would not explain to us really what he saw, but whatever it was, how majestic it must have been. But John elaborates. So the things that he saw Jesus. The things that are. There's the seven churches, and he's going to take us up into heaven. And then listen, chapter 6 through chapter 19, that is the tribulation on the earth. And there's a seven-year period of time, and there's specific judgments against ungodliness on this earth. chapters 16 through 19. Chapter 19, Jesus leaves heaven and comes back to earth. Okay, stop for one moment. Pastor, where are we at in all of this? And again, just so that you know where your pastor is at and where our ministry is at, we believe in the rapture of the church. We believe that before the tribulation period, before the seven-year tribulation period, before that time, God is going to take his church, the bride of Christ, to be with him, because tribulation is the execution of the wrath of God against all ungodliness. And you, as a believer, you are not subjected at all to the wrath of God because you're a believer. You pass from death to life, and it specifically says the wrath of God will not be upon any believer. So we'll be taken to heaven. We'll give you scriptural reasons why we believe that. There's others that don't believe that, but that's what we believe. We'll be taken to heaven before the tribulation period. We'll be with Christ in heaven. You say, well, if you have that position, that means you just kick back right now. Does this look like we kick back as a ministry? Do you think we kick back as a ministry? We are more diligent than ever. It's more urgent because John says, believe, and I do believe. John says, be certain of your salvation. I am certain. And then John says, be ready, and I want to be ready. And I want us as a ministry just to be serving God wholeheartedly as we finish what God has called us to do. What happens then is the church comes back with Christ in chapters 19. And at that, you've heard of the Battle of Armageddon. That's going to take place right there. It goes through that. It's going to speak about that. Then there's going to be a thousand-year reign. Literally, it's called a millennium, a thousand-year reign. 1,000 years, 1,000 literal years of Christ reigning and ruling. No more elections, no more conventions. We have Jesus Christ. And that's really, you know, right now in your heart, you want that kind of leadership in your heart. You can't wait. And so thank God that he does rule our life right now. Thank God that he's the Lord of our life right now. But there's going to be a time when he's going to reign and rule in righteousness. Well, what about Satan? Good question. The Bible says he's actually going to be chained in the abyss during that time. And we're going to be, as believers, you know, serving the Lord Jesus Christ in a tremendous capacity. But after that thousand-year reign, God is going to release Satan for a short time. He's going to then have that final judgment against all ungodliness. And then there's going to be, in chapters 20 and 20, 21, 22, new heaven and new earth coming out of heaven. And what happens from there? I don't know. We'll find out at that point. But it's so exciting when you realize what God has given to us. Back to chapter 1. And as we're looking at chapter 1 and seeing verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what we're looking at is, as we go through Revelation, it's of Jesus Christ. So if all of a sudden you're saying, you know what, you kind of gave a quick overview, and in this, I'm really interested in who the Antichrist is, and what about the nation of Israel, and what about the Battle of Armageddon, and what about 666? And those are things we'll cover, but really, we want to be more in love with Jesus. That's what it is. It's a worship book to know the Lord and to love the Lord all the more. That's what it's about. In other words, let's just say that there's a new car that's coming out, and it's like, it's supposed to be this, it's kept secret all the time. And so it's covered up, and you're at a convention, and you've been waiting to see this new latest model, cutting edge technology, state of the art and everything, but it's covered up completely. And you're just sitting and waiting, and all of a sudden, they just take off the cover, and they throw it away, and then there it is. Revelation, in the same way, it's just the revealing of Jesus Christ. Whatever, it's just taking the cover away and just saying, here is Jesus Christ. Here is our Lord. Here is our Savior. Here is the one who has provided salvation for us. Look again in verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, and to all the things that he saw. So what's happening is the Father is giving this message to Jesus. Jesus is using the angelic realm to give it to John. John is writing it, and then he is going to be delivering it, and certainly we have it today. We saw in verse 3 the great blessing. Verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. It says, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was and who is to come. That's our Lord. That's God. Always is, always was, is to come from the seven spirits who are before the throne, before his throne. There's a cross reference to Isaiah 11:2 that's worth looking at to see the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, and here he is. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead. Again, he conquered death, risen from dead. He's the ruler over the kings of the earth. So despite who's in charge in whatever country and whatever nation right now, despite who may be the leadership, we need to be praying for leaders. But I want to tell you, Christ is in charge. Jesus Christ, everyone is accountable to him. And so are we in our lives. And here's the great blessing. Look again in verse 5. You might feel sometimes like, you know, where is the Lord at in your life? And it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So John the Apostle is saying, I'm going to introduce to you, I'm going to reveal to you Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And those words are actually in capital letters in 19 of Revelation. And it's not capital because someone, you know, that was putting together the new Bibles decided that would be really cool. It's capital in all the manuscripts. Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And John's saying, I want to introduce you to him. John says, you know something? I was there at the cross. I saw him at the cross. I was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And I saw the glorified Lord right there. I've been with him. And I've seen those serving him being martyred. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ on the cross, he died for the sins of the world. John saw the blood that would be the blood sacrifice. We talk about it. He saw it. And he says that blood satisfied the demands of death upon our lives. And he's telling us that Jesus Christ, he is love. When he's on the cross, he was asking, he was just saying, Father, forgive them. Love was just coming from his life. There was never a time when there wasn't love. There's never a time when God does not love you. He loves you completely. He is in love with you right now. And he washed us. And in another version or in a commentary, it says, he released us from our sins. And I held on to that. So I understand he washes us. And I understand what that means. His blood washes us. That's biblical. That's correct. But he released us completely. Completely released from the penalty of sin. And also from the power of sin in our lives. And then he made us, and this, you can't believe this, okay? He made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There's a sense of royalty that we have as a child of the king that we have. It's been given to us. And then as far as a priest, this is very interesting because I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, so I understood the term priest, and it just seemed like the priest was always in a place that I never could be at, although I wanted to be, but I felt like I never could be because there was just a designated place for him and the calling that he had. But when I read through Revelation the first time, I'm saying, no way. Really? I can be a priest? I was going to go get one of those collars, you know, just to wear it. What's it feel like? But in a very sincere way, what it means in a very sincere way is that I grew up realizing that basically, there was another person, a priest, that went to God for me in many ways. And what I realized is as a priest, I just go to God directly. That's what it means, that we go to God directly. It's just the blessing. And as you read the Bible, you begin to understand things and really learn what God has done for us. Look in verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Now, this is a second coming. The rapture is when we're caught up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But his second coming, and that's why it's really hard for me to understand that some people would think that this has already taken place, because when did every eye see him? I just have questions about the different positions, but as we go through it, you'll know where we're at and why we're at. So in the very end, every eye is going to see him, and even those who pierced him. We're going to talk about the nation of Israel as we go through this. Just so you know up front, we believe that Israel has a very strategic place in the plan of God and in prophecies. We want you to know right up front that the church, the body of Christ, the believers, the born-again believers, the church has not replaced Israel. In other words, God called Israel to be the communicators of God to the world. They fell short. the church came into existence, but the church did not replace Israel. The church is the bride of Christ. It's different. We have a place that God has. And they have an expiration date on us. But it says God hasn't forsaken Israel. And Israel, the nation of Israel, is very important in end times prophecy. We believe that wholeheartedly. You'll see it come through in our messages. And so, verse 8, Jesus saying, our last verse for today, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know, when I look at go to the bookstore, and I buy a lot of things more online, but I still like going to bookstores or to Barnes & Noble. I like to see what new releases are. Never buy them, but I like to look at them. Actually, I like to look at the covers of a new book. I like to feel it and kind of see what they're trying to say. And then I check out how many pages there are, and I go, I won't buy that because I just it just never will happen. And then I'll look maybe at some of the references that they have in the back. I may look at the table of contents to kind of see where they're going. I just like to hold them. I like to look at the artwork on that. And then sometimes I like to kind of look towards the back and see really how's this whole thing ending up, you know? So I kind of like speed read. Okay. I didn't read it all. I didn't read that whole book completely. I just read parts of that. Yeah, okay. Just turn to the last page of Revelation with me, would you please? We'll conclude here. You should be really blessed and encouraged for what's ahead. Chapter 22. It's the last book of the Bible, chapter 22. Remember we just read that he's the Alpha and the Omega? Chapter 22, look at verse 12 and 13. Jesus is saying, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Again, verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. We don't work for salvation. It's a gift. But as believers, we work from salvation. So your life literally matters right now today. Everything about your life matters before God. We're literally accountable before God. And that is just a great blessing. An illustration I've used in the past, and I'm going to use it right now because I think it's pretty funny. But there was a new pastor that just got out of the seminary. He was ordained. He took his first church. And growing up in the seminary, they told him many times as you're given a message, all of a sudden your mind might go blank and then just repeat the theme that you know. So he was giving a message in Revelation. And so it was his first time. He was a bit nervous and he stood up there. It was his time and he's just saying, I'm going to bring the message, behold, I come quickly. And right then, his mind froze. I understand. He could not think of what was next. But he remembered what his professor said. Professor says, just repeat your theme and it'll click in. So then he came back and he says, behold, I come quickly. And blank in his mind. And then he was thinking, oh man, I am in trouble. So he just got more energy together and he just says, behold, I come quickly. And when he went like that, the podium fell over on the lady in the front row. And he was so embarrassed. And she says, son, it's okay. You told me 3 times you're coming quickly. So anyways, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for our fellowship. And I thank you personally for so many people that have really worked so hard this whole year, Lord, up to now. There's been so many things that you have given us the privilege to be involved in, whether it's outreaches as we just did last week or things building up the body of Christ, so many different ways that you have blessed us. You've given us, Lord, just your favor. We've experienced your love. We've experienced your forgiveness. You've helped strengthen marriages. You've helped strengthen lives. You've drawn people to yourself. And even this morning, I do pray that if you're not certain about your eternal future, as John said, you need to be certain. So we would pray. This is like a prayer, and it's not a memorized prayer, but as a young believer this weekend in 1978, I gave my life to Jesus Christ this Labor Day weekend. And I just says, Lord, I have sinned against you. And the conviction of sin was so heavy upon my heart, I was crying and crying out to the Lord. And I knew in my heart, I had enough understanding that I deserved hell. And I never experienced the grace of God that led to forgiveness. Maybe today, right now, anyone here, God knows your hearts. God knows your hearts. Time is short. Can you call out in your own heart quietly, if you're not right, say, Jesus, you're right and I've been wrong. And I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love that leads to forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for my sins, you rose again, and you're alive. I want to have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.